Right.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Danny.
Let's start video recording. Don't say anything you don't want repeated. And we are at Chukah and Balak. So this is actually the point we catch up with Israel, right? They're just at Balak this week, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Right in Israel?
Yeah, just Balak. So we actually catch up this week, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. But we have the double parsha. It's kind of a long parsha. But we're going to talk about Chukah specifically and Moshe's terrible, very bad, awful mistake. You know what that is, right? He hits the rock and water comes out, and Hashem says, that's it, you're not going to Eretz Israel. And I'm going to start with a little warning from Shaddai, who's a 19th century Italian commentator, who's looking at this incident about Mei Meriva. And he says, verse 1, Moshe Rabbeinu chata chet echad. Moshe sinned one sin. Mefarshim had misu alav shlosha asar chataim v'yoter, and he's counting that all the mefarshim have 13 different explanations for what he did wrong. He's got 13 sins on there. Kichol achad mehem b'adam libo avon chadash, because everyone came up with some brand new sin for Moshe to do. Asher al kein, so therefore, kol yomei yomai, so therefore, I always, all my life, I refuse to look into this. Because I'm scared that if I keep looking at Moshe's sin and Mei Meriva, I'm going to come up with a new explanation. And I'll be piling up more blame for Moshe, right? Probably know Moshe did one thing wrong, and everyone keeps piling on Moshe all the terrible things that he did. So that's a problem with coming up with more explanations, because Moshe looks worse and worse in this story every time you read another explanation of what happened.
Who's this Chazal? Who's Shaddai?
Shaddai. Shlomo David Luzzatto.
Oh, right.
19th
okay.
century Italian Moshe. Kind of academic commentator.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump in anyway. And we're going to look at Moshe. And Moshe, I'm not going to necessarily come up with my own explanation of what happened, but I'm going to use the Nitziv here. So we know the story, source 2. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol adam b'Tzin b'chorash harishon. And all b'nei Yisrael come to the wilderness of Tzin b'chorash harishon in the first month, that's a Nisan, and this is of the 40th year. They've been wandering the wilderness for 40 years. Yeshiva Amba Kadesh, and they settle in the town, the settlement of Kadesh. Atamashir Miriam, Batikibasham, Miriam dies there. She's buried there. Loya Mayim Leida, and there's no water for anyone to drink. Baikalu al Moshe Ba Aron, and they all gather together on Moshe and Aaron. Bayuraba Am Moshe, and they argue with Moshe. And they say and re say, if only we had died the way our brethren had died, right? They're all died. They all died. The older generation died in the wilderness. We're here and we are just going to die of thirst here in Midbar Tzin. Why did you bring us into this wilderness? That we're all going to die. Our animals are going to die. Why did you take us out of Egypt? You brought us to this terrible place. It's not a place with crops and figs and grapes and pomegranates. There's no water to drink. It's worth noting where they are. Where is Midbar Tzin? Where is Kadesh? It's in the heart of the Arava Valley. Okay? Way south in the Negev. And let's going to skip down to source 4, because we know that because some description in Masai of where they're going from one place to the next. They go from Arbona, they Yachanub Etzion Geber, and they camp in Etzion Geber. One of their trips was Etzion Geber. Where is Etzion Geber? Description comes in Devarim, and it's mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh. We avoided our brethren, the kingdom of Bnei Esav, who live in Seir, which is right now, it's what the area is in Negev, Miderach Arava, in the Arava, that valley there, Me'elat u'Me'etzion Geber. Eilat and Etzion Geber are right next to each other. You know that from Shlomo builds the whole navy, and Etzion Geber is on the Red Sea. So they're coming up from Etzion Geber. At that point, Benepin Nabor Derech Midbar Moav, and they turn north from Eilat, and they head into Midbar Moav, which is on the Jordan side of the Arava. So in back end of the story of the traveling, they go from Arvana, they've gone all the way south to Eilat, they go from Eilat, and they go up, on their way up, they're going in, that's where Midbar Tzion Kadesh is. Basically, in the middle of the Arava. That's pretty dry.
Is that Jordan, or where is that?
So they're actually going on the Jordanian side. It says they're Derek Midbar Moab. It's actually they're on the Jordanian side.
Yeah.
Of the Arava, south of the Dead Sea. Right. There's not a lot of water there. So they lose this miraculous well that they've had with them, and they're quite legitimate, because they're like miles and miles from any kind of civilization. There is no water. And Miriam has died, and they don't have any water. And we know that the idea that the well was the zechut of Miriam. This is a clear way Kliyakar puts it. Lo haya mayim la'eda. There's no water. Atzada onesh chesro mayim, and they were punished with this lack of water. Shlois bida karoy, that they did not memorialize Miriam appropriately. Moshe va'Aron nemar vayivchuotam bnei Yisrael. Explicitly says that when Aaron died, Moshe dies. Bnei Yisrael mourned them. They cried. V'kan lo nemar vayivchuotam. You don't have that by Miriam. She died, she buried, and they move on. She was buried immediately. And she was forgotten. The Kliyakar say they were punished for not remembering Miriam. They didn't feel the lack of Miriam at all. Okay, next we'll have a Mayim. That's why Hashem said, okay, there's no water. They should know. In retrospect, Shabbaer Haitab Zechut Miriam. They realized that the war they had was become the Zechut of Miriam. They should remember her. Anyone here put a little Kos Miriam at the Seder?
Of course.
Okay, so that's the idea. That's where this connection comes from, is the idea that they should have mourned her. So they don't have any water. So what are they supposed to do? This problem has happened before. End of Parsha B'Shalach. They're coming out of Egypt, they're in the middle of the Sinai Desert, and they run out of water. Torah 6, this is way back, Parsha B'Shalach, 40 years before. And they go from the wilderness of Sin, and they're in Refidim, and the people don't have any water. And they're all thirsting for water, and they all complain to Moshe. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Lamit oti v'panai v'kvinai basama. You're going to kill me, my children, my flocks in thirst. Same complaint they have 40 years later. So what does Hashem tell him? V'yom Hashem al Moshe, avor lefnei ha'am, go pass in front of the people. V'kach yitcha mizikne Yisrael, and take the elders with you. U'matcha asher akita bo te'ar, and the staff that you did the miracles are on the Nile, you turn it to blood. That one, take that with you. I don't want to do that. I'm going to share again. B'niyah made l'fenecha Hashem al Atzur b'chorev, and I'll be standing at the rock in Chorev, that's Har Sinai, v'kita b'tzur, and you should hit the rock. Right, that's pretty explicit. This is 40 years before Hashem says, take the staff that you did the miracles with and go hit the rock. And the people should drink. And that's what Moshe did. And they had plenty of water, and the water lasted for 40 years. So what happens here in our story? Verse 7. Apedach Omaway. So people are all complaining, we have nothing to drink. Moshe and Aaron look at the people and run back to the Omoid. They flew up in a hem and fall on their faces. Vayirak put Hashem Elohim, and Hashem appears to them. Hashem tells them, here's what you're going to do. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lamar, this is what you do. Kach et hamateh, take the staff. Vakel teida, and gather the people together. Atav Aaron Achicha, you and Aaron. Vidibartem el haselah, and talk to the rock. Vayinehem, in front of them. Vinatamimav, and the water, it will give its water. And you'll bring out water from the rock, and you'll give plenty of water for the people and their animals. Okay, so if you're Moshe, you hear that instructions, what do you think you're supposed to do? Go take
the rock.
Right, go take the stick and go lecture the people, hit the rock, right? That's what I did last time. And Moshe takes the staff from before God, the way he was commanded. And Moshe and Aaron bring all the people together in front of this of the rock. And they say, listen, you rebellious people. Do you think we can get water out of this rock? And Moshe raises his hand and hits the rock with his staff twice. And the water comes out, and the people drink, and turns out this is a terrible thing. And Hashem says right after that, the people are all drinking, the water came out, and Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, since you did not believe in me, to sanctify me before the eyes of Israel, you will not bring these people to their place where they are going in the land that I have given them, and that was the reason they given throughout the Torah why Moshe and Aaron don't enter Eretz Yisrael because of this. And that's the problem, because it's not clear what Moshe did wrong. What was so terrible about what happened here? We all know Rashi's answer. It's that Hashem said, "Departem Osel, talk to the rock," and they and Moshe Bayachat Osel Mateo, and Moshe hit it. Source 8, if you had just talked to the rock, and water came out, that would have been an incredible Kiddush Hashem. They would have seen the water coming out, been a miracle, and that would have been a Kiddush. And everyone is bothered by Rashi because, number one, what did Aaron do wrong? Number two, it's a miracle if you hit a rock and the water comes out anyway. Why is the difference in terms of the Kiddush Hashem there? And so that's why everyone comes up with more and more explanations. The Abarbanel famously lists 10 of them and isn't happy with any of those. The first one he listed is Rashi, and that is from the Gemara. The second one he brings is also from a Midrash. That what did they do wrong? This is source 9, this is Abarbanel. Again, Hadat Hasheni, who the second explanation that's given. Again, the first one is Rashi. Second one is a Chazal that we see that we'll see that inside Bar Rabba. Gam Kain Sha'amru Shahiach. It's what that Chazal Gam Kain Amru. That Chazal bring mentioned it. Shachet She Hikilu Before Dam She Yisrael. They did not respect Bnei Yisrael. Bar Amru Lahem Shumina Amarim. When he calls that, when Moshe calls them, you rebellious people, that's insulting Bnei Yisrael. They had a legitimate complaint. There's no water. Moshe should have done something about that. You can't insult your own people. And insulting the people is the equivalent to be machal of Hashem Shamayim. The Lord Manten B wasn't that you didn't have faith in me, Hashem, but you didn't have faith in the people. And that's implied by the Devarim Rabba, source 10. Zishem Rakatuv, B'tochachot Alavon Yisarti Ish, Pasuk from Taylor. When you rebuked on the sin, you troubled man. What is that pasuk talking about? Ma b'tochachot al avon. What is the rebuke about the sin? Yitei avon echad shehaya b'yad Yisrael. This is the one sin that Moshe, b'yad Moshe. This is the one sin that Moshe did. Shochiach b'necha. The tochacha here, that's the tochach avon. The act of rebuking was the sin. When he says to them, amar lahem shumuna marim. And that's why Yasarta Oto. That's why you made Moshe suffer. Because he was rebuking Bnei Israel, and you rebuked him. But that doesn't sound like it's a terrible thing. I mean, we see that all the time. You rebuke people when they do the wrong thing. What was wrong with this hochacha that Moshe is saying? Moshe said to Bnei Israel, Hashem said to Bnei Israel, all these terrible things you've been doing. So what's going on? So we're going to put this together. First question. Hashem tells him, "Kach et hamateh, take the staff." What stick are we talking about? And if you look at it, what it says about it, it's "Vayikach et Moshe et hamateh lifnei Hashem." He takes it from before Hashem. What does that mean? Remember from last week's parsha.
The rule about before, la.
Should I say it one time?
You were describing a rule about whenever it's used with a mem versus some other al, it has different meaning.
Okay, so that's the Debar Tema al Sel. We'll get to that part. I think the mateh here, though, that's before Hashem, last week's parsha, when Korach is rebelling, and we need proof that Aaron is really the one who's supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. It says that Aaron and all the leaders of the tribes, each one took their own staffs. They left it in front of the Aaron in the Mishkan, and then they took it out, and Aaron's staff had blossomed, flowered, brought forth fruit. And that staff, Hashem tells him, "Hashevet ha-mateh aron lifnei ha'edut mishmeret la'ot v'nei meri." You should take the staff and leave it in the Mishkan. And that'll be a sign, as a warning, la'ot v'nei meri, as a sign for those who are rebelling. So presumably when Moshe is taking the staff from lifnei Hashem, and he's telling them, Shemu ha-morim, he's talking about that staff. It's not Moshe's staff that he did the miracles with and waved on the Nile and all that. It's the staff that was left as a sign in the Mishkan. That's the Chizkuni, Kach et hamateh, Zeh mateh shel Aaron, Aaron's staff. Tachativ kan v'yikach Moshe et hamateh, not his mateh, it's just the staff, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Zeh maklo shel Aaron, this was Aaron's stick. Ketiv parsha Korach, we saw that, Hashevet mateh Aaron lifnei haidu, leave Aaron's staff in front of the, leave Aaron's staff in front of the Aaron, the Mishmeret Le'ot L'Nei Meri. That's something to be kept as a sign for those who would rebel. Od, the Maklod Shel Aaron Haya'ot L'Nei Meri, right? That's the sign for the B'nei Meri. The Ha'inu Amar Moshe, Shimu Nahamorim. That's what Moshe says, listen, you rebellious people. He's holding the staff up, presumably, as the, remember what happened last time all you people rebelled. Be careful. And then when he says, V'dipartem el asela, it doesn't necessarily mean talk to the rock, but it means talk about the rock. That happens throughout Tanakh, that al means about, this is the Ramban, al-dati tam v'dipartem el asela, means kamo al asela. And he gives examples throughout Tanakh. Dipartem al means to talk about. So he's supposed to, in his way of looking at it, he's supposed to take this staff, which is meant to be a symbol for rebelliousness, and go give a lecture to Bnei Israel about the rock. And here's one example of that idea of Al, Bamar Paro, Bnei Israel, the Ruchim of Arts, that Paro says to Bnei Israel, they are lost in the land. This is after they've run away, they're all escaped from Egypt, and they're wandering around before they get to Yamsuf, and they're turning back, and Paro assumes that they've lost. He says, Amar Livnei Israel. Livnei Israel means Al Bnei Israel, about Bnei Israel. He's not talking to Bnei Israel. Bnei Israel aren't there. He's telling about Bnei Israel. Similarly, Imri Achihu, that Abraham tells Sarah, tell me that I'm your brother. Not Imri Lee to me, but about me. Say about me that I'm your brother. Imrolai. So this is the Kliya Kar says, you know what this was? This was supposed to be a lecture for Bnei Israel about the Be'er that they that had followed them all this time, about the staff that reminds them not to rebel, that Hashem can still do miracles. Source 15, Kriyaka. Mate Aaron, Etz Yavesh. The very staff itself was a symbol. It was a dry stick. It was a piece of wood. Shalohaya bolik luchlit mayim. They had no moisture in it, klal at all. Mikom makom hotzi perach betzitz. It flowered. That was the miracle that happened to it. Made perach betzitz below mayim, and it couldn't have flowered without water. Elash Hakadosh Baruch Hu gazara lev shiyutzi mayim. Hashem said, "There, let this staff bring forth its moisture again. It will flower." Befriach Hashem etz yavesh. Hashem made this dry wood flower. Idei amayim shotzi b'gzirat hakel yivarach. Hashem could do that. That's part of what it symbolizes. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu shemoshe yikach mateh aron. So Hashem wants Moshe to take the staff that's been there for this very purpose as being a symbol. Yireh el kol Yisrael and show it to all Bnei Yisrael. Lomar, and to tell him, k'shem shehotzi Hashem mayim min ha'etz yavesh, just like Hashem brought water from this dry stick, brought it back to life. Kach yotzi mayim mitzurah chalamish zeh yavesh, can also bring it from this flinty rock. Vayideh zeh, botzila ha'mayim min ha'selah, and in case you like gematrias, he's got a gematria there, that's selah is a hint. Is it remembers about the hint? Sela gematria etz. I don't know if you want to take gematria there. I think more as a symbol, it works well. Shalimi min etz yavesh lasot maseo. That the rock, just like the etz, became moist again, brought forth its water. So too will the rock. Avalot tzivah hakobo klal. There was no commandment to hit anything. Hika Moshe ketiva mateo, and that's the other side of it. That when he hits us, go back to the actual source. Right? Hashem says, Kach at hamate, take the staff. Kach Moshe et hamate, Moshe takes the staff, Milfnei Hashem, that was before God. But when he hits it, Moshe yado v'yachet asel b'matehu. He hits the rock with his staff. That's a different one. Right? Shahika Moshe ketiv b'matehu. Mashma b'mateh shelo, hika, lo mateh aron. He leaves behind this mate Aaron that's a symbol, and he takes the mate Moshe, which is the one that he used to do the miracles, the plagues in Egypt. And so that was in the other side of the mistake. So he's not talking to the people. He gives a one line Shimuna Morim, and then hits the rock. But the fact that does it with his staff is a huge problem. And the Kliyakar, very interestingly, goes back to Yamsu. What was the point of Moshe's staff, right? It's the one Asher Tasebo Tatot. That was what he used before Paro to show that he could have all this power. But the danger of that is that it makes it into a magic wand. Right, this isn't Hashem doing it. This is my magical stick that's making all this happen. And the Kliyakar proves this from Kriya Yamsuf, where it says, Hashem tells Moshe, "Vata haremet matcha, go lift up your staff, riteyat yircha al hayam, and wave your hand over the sea, uvakayehu, and split it." Bnei Yisrael will go through the dry land. And Shmuel Rabba says on this, what is haremet matcha? We translate that as lift up your staff. That's not necessarily what it means. Amar Rabbi Simon. Kacha yoha mitzrim. This is what the Egyptians said. Lo yachol Moshe lasot klum el b'mateh. Moshe wasn't doing any of this except with his magic wand. Bohi kata yor, that's what he hit the Nile. Bohi vi komakot, that's what brought all the plagues. Heven shabo Yisrael tochayam. As soon as Bnei Israel went into the sea, Bamitzrim Amdim Mecharam, and the Egyptians are behind them, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Hashlech Matcha, throw away your staff, put it down. Haram means to put it on the shelf. Shelo Yomru Ilei Mateh, that they shouldn't say that if it wasn't for this staff, Lo Yachol Lekratem, you can't do this. Shneimar Haram Matcha, that's what Haram means. Continue in the Kliyakar. The problem with hitting it. Himatina Zal and Shema Rabba recorded this, Bekriyat Yam Suf Ketiv. By splitting the sea, it says, Vata harem et matcha, go harem, lift up your staff, v'tet yadcha, and wave your hand. Harama zu loshan siluk utruma. Harama here means to remove, put it away, throw it down. Lomar harem et matcha uskal usalakuhu, to pick the staff up and throw it away. V'tet yadcha, just wave your hand over it. Lo matcha, don't use the staff here. We want to make a point that you're not doing this with a magic wand. Visha hayu marananim achar matek. They were all, Bnei Yisrael were all looking at this staff. They were all praying to the staff. Oh, he's got a magic wand. He'll save us all with his magic wand. Ramusha kol nisim sha'asa Moshe b'mateyu. Moshe did all these miracles with the staff. Hakol yaderach ezu kishu. This was all some kind of magic. She'elo b'mateh zed, that was in somewhere in this magical staff. Because we can see that he only does things with this staff. That's the problem with the staff. That's why he says, go harem, in the sense of pick it up and put it away, in order to kick this thought out of their hearts. So that's the point where they saw the Yad HaGadol of Hashem. Shalomar Sharosh Shenese Nase Biyad Lo Matem. Moshe waves his hand, and it was not from the Sikh, Fichach, by Amina Bashem Moshe Abdo. That was an increased level of Amunah they had in Moshe. Chalad Arata, we can see that from until that point, there's by Aminu now, so until that point, Hayo Banim Lo Emunbam, they didn't really have that much faith. Yilo Aminu Bashem, not Moshe Abdo. They didn't really believe Hashem was doing miracles, they believed in magic. Yishal Makom, Utlos, and Yisim Matek. They assumed all these miracles were done by magic.
So what's his basis of saying laharim means put it aside, because that's not what it means.
Right. So that is the Shemot Rabbah. Okay. That's going back before the Kli Yakar, where it says, right, hashlech et hamatcha. That's what it means. Harem and matcha. Harem means hashlech. And the answer, I think the idea is what is harem et matcha u'nete et yadcha.
Well,
that's the problem.
It's singular there, so
you want to lift up the stick and then wave the hand with the other hand.
I don't know, but you know, to say harem means put it aside. It's funny.
It is funny, but it's a nice way of looking. It is his midrashic. I'm not going to say claim pshat on here, but it's a good way, and it connects to what happens here, where he does the opposite.
Right.
Right. Wait. Watch what he does over here. Right. I think the distinction between hamateh and matcha is definitely significant. And what he does, it's bayarem Moshe et yado, bayachasel b'matehu. So instead of yarem mateh, here he's actually not, he's yarem at his hand. So midrashically, we're looking at the opposite. He's putting the yad aside, and now he's just doing it with the staff. And that's what Kliyakar is going to say. Nebet azot. Yamim Rabim Lisrael, Shinikra Yam. And at this point, it's 40 years. It's a long time since Yamsu. V'dor ze lo yadu imasa Moshe nis, ahub yado, Mateo, and they haven't seen a lot of miracles out of Moshe, and they're not clear what exactly Moshe's power was. Is this the magic wand? Hadei sheiki atzur b'mateh, chazar ve'viit Yisrael b'chisaron he'emunah. And the act of using the staff again says, oh yeah, of course, that was the magic staff my parents told me about. That's the problem. Shachazir Rumlu, Shalo Hashem Palkazot. They're going to say that no, Hashem didn't do this. But Mateo Shalo, Yich Ezu Tzad Kishu. It's magic there. Shem Nemar Bata Rem Matcha Unite Yadcha. Over by Yamsuf, it says, Harem, we get rid of. Midrash is saying that's the Hashlech, the Midrash says that. Unite Yadcha and use your hand. Nemar Lashar Harama, Vesiluk Mate. Again, he's putting that synonymously, the Siluk of putting aside is Harama. And lift your hand. And that's why they believed. And here it says again, the opposite. Moshe is Yarem, same language of his hand. And hits it with his staff. That's why he's putting the hand aside. He's not just doing it by standing there. With hands, it's like he put his hand aside. And he uses the staff like this. Hikstir miyote emuna umkoma. Now he's bringing this doubt in Bnei Israel's eyes back to where it was. Umkoma Yisrael, where it was. Kasher rinun shalomateh kodem kriyat yamsu. That everyone was thinking, oh, that's a magic staff. I mean, you have all the midrashim about this staff that was made out of a separate round that had the otot written on them. I think that's the danger. You can say, okay, obviously it's all just a magic wand.
What does the word renun mean?
Where are you?
Renun, haya renun shel miate. That's renun.
The ranen, to praise. They're all saying how wonderful this staff was.
Praise. Is that from renana, like to the blossom?
Yeah, Ranu tzadikim.
It's not a word that has to do with blossoming or growing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Ranan has an ayin in there.
Oh, it has an ayin. Yeah, you're right. Missing an ayin.
Yes, this is from Rina. Right. That's what Hashem said. Lo hemantem bi, lo amantem. Not that you didn't believe. Lo neamar ela hemantem. You didn't cause others to believe in me. Lo amantem. It means it's causative. Shagar mushalol hamin bi. You changed how the whole thing was supposed to be. So really, it's not so much. It was yes, the hitting it was a problem, but specifically how Moshe hit it with a staff, as opposed to take the Mate Aaron and talk about the seller. That's all you need to do. Yilo amru b'koach mate asa zeh. Yomru b'koach mate asa zeh. They're going to say it's because the staff. Hashem Paul goes out. Hashem didn't do it. Zeh shnei ra'ot asu. Really, there are two things here. Two mistakes. Yilo dibru ala sella klom. They didn't talk to or about the rock at all. And this is Aaron's problem. Because we're supposed to be all of them, as the leader, supposed to be talking to Israel. And the second one was the Mateh. So that he didn't tell the people, okay, we need to have faith in Hashem that we will survive this. And they reduced the Emunah back. That's the clear card of what Moshe did wrong.
Well, also what Aaron did wrong. It's finally saying that Aaron didn't speak at all. He should have been speaking.
He should have been speaking, right. And the interesting, Yosef Albo, the Sefer Yikarim, says that's even more of a problem. Because the very fact, the Ramban brings that too, the very fact that when Moshe and Aaron are faced with the people complaining, what do? They don't tell them, okay, we have to dive into Hashem, we can work on this. They run away. They go and they have to ask Hashem. This is 40 years later. Sefer Yikarim. But they should have known what to do. Again, we've got dozens of, we're making Moshe look terrible in here because we have dozens of explanations. We're going to kind of put them all, they're all part of the same thing. That says that you didn't believe in me. Believe me. What do you mean Moshe didn't believe in Hashem? When Bnei Israel asked for water, Elohai Moshe v'Aaron goes rim shiva katsur. They should have said, "Rock, oh, bring forth your water." And it would have come out. Hashem would have listened. Hashem yibarach lisafek mikim devar avdal. That Hashem surely would have kept what they asked for. Atzat malachav yashlim. That's a quote that the advice of his messengers, he will do that. Hashem would certainly have been sanctified before the people. Moshe would have said, Hashem, please bring forth water, and water would have come forth. That's what should have happened. And Moshe and Aaron didn't do this. And they ran away. They looked like they were running away, al pedach on the way to the Mishkan. They had no idea what to do. That was a chilul Hashem. The great mute emunah bo u'b'torah, and it minimizes the faith both in Hashem and in the Torah. L'rim for all who saw that. That was their helplessness. So what should they have done? The Tziv says, you know, what are you supposed to do when there's no water?
Pray.
Right. We have a procedure for this, right? We have tzomot, we say the shosrei midot, and that's the way it's looking at it. is that 40 years before they're coming out of Egypt, they're dependent on Moshe. What should have happened here is Moshe said, here's what we do. You're right. This will happen in the future. Whatever. We assume that it all comes from Hashem. This is an Onesh. We need to daven. We need to figure out what we're doing wrong. We need to do so. All those sorts of things that we do nowadays, that's what Moshe should have shown them. That underlying it all was the mistake. That Moshe is still the leader of 40 years before, where we're going to do miracles in the middle of the desert. They're entering Eretz Yisrael right now. That's not going to be an option anymore. This is Emek Dabar. Apela Hine. The wonder we had to think about it. Hine is the Arba'im Shana, that for 40 years, Holchim B'Midbar HaGadol, they're going through this vast wilderness, the Sobel B'Shum Turmel, and there weren't complaints. The surprising thing isn't the fact that 40 years later they're complaining again after that first terrible 2 years. The fact they made it this far without complaining at all through all that time. They vino. And the reason is, the Bnei Yisrael understood, Kilo zeo taklit nisiyatam, ad bo amal neres hashavet. They had a goal. They were going to get to Eretz Yisrael, and they could deal with what was happening until now. Lama ze hitramu ata, so why are they complaining now? Aba ro'oi lada, you should know, de b'shana ha'achrona, this is, it seems, chidosh here, but I think it's very true, that this 40th year, yeah, sof halichot ha'yisui, that was the end of the journey. That's when they're getting ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, and that was the end of the miraculous Kippur. Hashem's weaning them off of the miracles for this 40th year. Atayu omdim the Knesset Yisrael. Now they're on the edge of Eretz Yisrael. They're actually at the edge of Edom. They want to head north from here. When they're going to have to act according to nature. No more man. No more miraculous. No more miraculous clothing that don't wear out. You have to start doing things for real. Takat hashgachat Hashem, still under the supervision of Hashem. Divine providence still applies even the halichot ha-teva. Okay, therefore, hitnaheg HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imam, v'shana nazu. Therefore, Hashem led them, behaved with them in this year, v'derech hamamutza, in kind of halfway. Not quite as miraculous as the previous time. Just like you wean a child off of the breast or off the bottle, you slowly introduce food, you introduce a cup, you slowly get them used to the more grown-up stuff. So as to Hashem began, to start to separate them from miracles, starting out, they have to deal with the world as it is. And it teach them, this is what you're going to do when things go bad. Treat that as a sign from Hashem. Right, you're still under Hashkachat Hashem. Yes, you have to do things naturally, but still, you still have to be religious Jews. If there's no rain, the good is gone, what do you do? And there could be a point where Moshe is not going to be able to just whack his stick against a rock and water is going to come forth. That as soon as Moshe says it, it happens. That's what we need to learn. And that we look at that Moshe ideally would have brought them into Eretz Yisrael, but kind of been there as backup. That yes, you need a Navi that's there, but still, you're supposed to deal with the world in more natural way.
Is there textual evidence of the Emek Dabar that things were going half and half or getting watered down in terms of numbers of?
But he deals with that more. That's more his explanation for why the water stopped. In other words, the miraculous wells stopped at this point, not so much as a punishment because they've not. The mourning for Miriam, but as that was part of the weaning, that okay, here's water, here's no more water, we're gonna have to figure out what to do with that.
So only the water is a textual basis for slowing down.
The other side of that is that we see later in Parshat Chukak is the snakes that were sitting. It says, Vayishalach, literally means he let them loose. And Hashem basically took away the miraculous protection and that the snakes had already were there. So look at that story later on where they complain and Hashem lets the snakes loose and it says Vayishalach, not the Vayishalach, Vayishlech, not the ascent, Vayishalach, he let them loose. That's another idea of the same thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to let them deal with the world, deal with the consequences of their actions in a natural way. I can't think of anything else offhand. The mind doesn't stop until they actually
end. Last day.
This is the way Netziv wants to look at that. So it's a little bit of a chish, but I think it's a very nice idea here of what's going on here. Because this is what is Moshe supposed to do? Verse 21. Yadua minhag Yisrael. We know what's supposed to happen when there's no rain. Everyone gathers together into one place. Even if there's no Beit HaMikdash, we do it today. A big Tehillim gathering. Makom Karban. Now that even if you don't have a Beit HaMikdash to bring a Karban. And that even if there's no Gilui Shechina, we still do it today. Rosh HaOmer Devarim Kavushim, and the head of the people says, hey, we're translating Kavushim. Emotional. Heartfelt. V'charkach mitpalalim b'tzibur, and you're supposed to daven, m'sechatanet, we have the whole m'sechatanet, but how that's supposed to happen, we know what we're supposed to do. But tzarek harsh baruch hu, and Hashem wants, Hashem Moshe v'aro yilamdu ata'am, ha'ech yasu l'darot, Eretz Yisrael. That's what should have happened. That Moshe and Aaron should have taught them this is the way we treat a drought. This is what is supposed to happen with a drought.
That is what they did do. They ran over to the Ohel Moed and they pleaded with God. That's a prayer.
Right. So that, but with this staff, that's a symbol of Hashem's providence. And that's what they should have been leading them at. That's where the Medrash says that they insulted them by saying, Shimon HaMorim. You can start with Hochacha, but still need the rest of it. So they went and they davened themselves, but it wasn't this asifa of everyone together. That's what this should have been. They go in front of the rock where the water used to come from and start davening. And they will believe that even without Moshe's power, without the staff, without the miracles, Moshe and Aaron's job here was simply to lead the tefillah. And that will have its effect. That's where Hashem is commanded to bring them all together. That's where the appearance of the presence of Hashem. And then Hashem, we would teach them, give them Musar. That's fine. That's what it should be. They should have told them, give them Tochacha. Moshe got the Tochacha part, and said Shimon HaMarim one line, and then turned and did the miracle. That's not what's supposed to happen. We should have gone to the tefillah there. So Palu B'tzibur L'tzada Sela, and they should have davened there. V'zeh Natan Me'mav. And then the water would have got passive. Let's go back to that pasuk again. What happens? Hashem tells him.
What's Devarim Kivushim?
Everyone tries to Kivushim. Let's go. I'm going to look that up here.
Like you're captured, like you're humble, like you're,
yeah,
like you're beaten down. I don't know. Kavush is like occupied, or
that's not literal.
Kivush.
Let's see what Morphic says. Come on, Peter.
Kavush in Google Translate is occupied.
Yeah. Passion,
subjugated, conquest.
Subjugated is a good word there.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We have pickled, vanquished, pent up emotions.
Ooh.
How's that for a good translation there? Restraining,
paving. Yeah, they're like the.
Let's see. Devarim.
More. What are you looking at?
It is, I like the Morphic's Dakota dictionary better than. Here we go. Here's the expression: literary, persuasive, or words of admonishment.
Oh.
Okay, that's the idiom I'm looking for here.
Kibushin.
Okay. That's what we're supposed to say. what Hashem tells him is Dibartem El HaSela, which we're translating, right, talk about the rock. This is the well that used to have and it stopped and now we're going to get it back, right? Here's what you do. It will give its water. That sounds redundant. It will give its water and you will bring water from the rock. It continues on here. 23 here. I have different number of sources here. I don't know why. Tziba, okay. That's where the Emek Adavar continues. But Tziba od botzila hem mayim min hasela. So it's natan mei mav and then botzeta lehem mayim min hasela. L'chora hu ach kafel hasha, hu ach kafel hasha chas b'shalom. It looks like it's redundant. Chas b'shalom. The Torah's not going to be done. Hashem's not going to do two different commands. And it says from go, and it goes from a tan meimav that the water the, it will give its water, and to otseita lehemayim as being something separate. There are two different commands here. And you, it's the first command is you plural dibartem plural you Moshe Aaron, take the staff dibartem asel, talk with the rock and the water will come. That was step one. Step two is Hotseita, you Moshe, as an individual, you will bring forth water. Elahu open acher. It means something completely different. Shemar Karish Baruch Hu. Shem says, Ulay yo lo yala hasha'a l'torah tefila karoi. That if that the tefila doesn't work, as Hashem is saying, well, maybe I'm not going to listen. You know, if my answer is no, then b'charkach lo yigia teva. And then the water will not come. I'm still not going to let you die of thirst here in the desert. You'll still be okay. You'll not leave him without water. But if you get your tefillah done and you do that and it doesn't work, then you can do the rock, the stick and the rock thing and do the nes. That's not where you start. Start is where you're supposed to do this. This is what you're supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael. You're supposed to gather everyone together and start praying. And this is what Moshe gets wrong. He's still looking at this the way it was 40 years ago. And that puts all these answers together. It's that Moshe is not leading B'nai Yisrael in. He cannot lead them in. Not because he did such a terrible sin, but he's demonstrating that he's not the leader that he needs them now, that they need now. They need someone who can lead them in the Derech HaTeva, which does include Emunah and Hashem, but it's got to be sort of direct. Teva, Moshe's first go-to is the Nes. And that's true of Moshe because that's who Moshe is, right? He doesn't get this distinction between talking to God directly and then Derech HaTeva. It's all the same. That's Moshe's level. And that this, his zealousness, his close to Hashem, is actually his fatal flaw here. And then see it continues. When he says, Shimuna Hamorim, listen, you rebellious ones. He starts by rebuking them. And then he gets angry. That's the Rambam says that was his problem was. That was his sin. He gets angry with the people. And he's not rebuking the way you're supposed to. Right? You don't rebuke people by yelling at them, telling them how terrible you are and you're doing everything wrong. You rebuke softly. Okay, here, you can do better. Moshe got angry and basically embarrassed the people. He's insulting them. And Moshe said these things in anger. And he forgets the halacha, the rules. That how are you supposed to do chacha? It's something that's supposed to inspire them to do better, not just yell at them. Just like we're supposed to do. That's what the rabbis, the sermon is supposed to do. That's what Ne'ilah Drash is supposed to be. It's supposed to inspire you, not leave you reeling, running away. That's what we learn in the Sefri and Shmini. That the problem of Memriva, Shemitoch Kas, Balach Lantan. Moshe got angry, and therefore he made this mistake. Moshe expected great things from Bnei Yisrael, but didn't know how to communicate that. And that was his error here. And I want to sort of say that, okay, that doesn't make it such a horrible sin, but it indicated that he just was not going to be able to lead them at this point. After 40 years, he could lead them in miracles, but he can't lead them as a rabbi, as a leader of the people. And so it was time for another generation of leadership to come in. And that's the sin of Maimaripa. So up here, have a good Shabbos. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Danny.
Much love.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.